here we are again, folks. We are at the table with Gail. And you've probably noticed the voice change here. No, it is not Peter Fleming. It is Nikki Carroll. Hey, Gail.
Hello, Nikki. Yes, my new dancing partner, folks. You know, we usually have a little boogie, you know, in between. So get your dancing feet on, Nikki.
Absolutely, I will. We've chosen a really good song to go with, so I'm very grateful about that. And it's relating to one of the recipes you've got today.
It is, which you'll hear later on, but it's the chunky chocolate banana bread. And I did actually manage to just, you know, cut a piece off to bring into the studio because, you know, I like them to just sample some of the things that I've made.
And so, sorry, yeah. Pete, but I got it.
Yes, that's exactly right. Yeah.
If you would choose to take time off, you miss out.
That's right. Exactly.
So it's definitely me today. So that is fantastic. And I'm really excited about going with that. So what is the first recipe that we have in the books today?
Well, I usually do, Nikki, a soup of the week. Yes. Because, you know, because it's that weather, that time of the year. And this one I chose this time was vegetable and white bean soup.
White bean.
And white bean, yes, which is a haricot bean.
Oh, okay.
I think the white beans.
Yep, the fatter ones.
Yeah, the fatter ones. Yep. And basically, and I thought, well, this would be, you know, ideal for the moment. So we're starting off with 2 tablespoons of extra virgin olive oil, 2 medium onions chopped finely, 2 garlic cloves crushed, 2 medium carrots grated, 2 celery stalks sliced finely, and a 400 gram can of chopped tomatoes, 1 litre of vegetable stock, 1 bay leaf, 1 sprig of fresh rosemary, 2 tablespoons of tomato paste, 400 gram can of white beans drained and rinsed, 2 medium courgettes sliced thinly, and 100 grams of green beans trimmed and just cut into lengths, 2 centimetre lengths, just nice and, you know, not too big, and 1/2 cup of grated Parmesan cheese. Now, doesn't that's full of
goodness. Oh, my gosh. I'm reading this recipe right in front of me now, and I'm thinking, that is a huge amount of vegetables.
I know. That's right. So, you know, basically, like, I'm just going to mention this, Nikki. I said to somebody the other day, we were having a chat and we were talking about soups, and somebody mentioned Brussels sprouts, and she said, ew, I hate Brussels sprouts. And I said, well, I made a Brussels sprout and bacon soup the other week, and it's for people like you that don't like Brussels sprouts because they wouldn't know they were eating it. So there
exactly.
You are.
Exactly. And that's the thing. When you turn it into a soup, it just changes the flavour completely.
The whole thing. Yeah, exactly. So the method for this is, heat oil in a large saucepan over medium heat, add onion and garlic, cook, stirring until onion is softened, add the carrot and celery, cooking for a further 2 minutes, add tomatoes, stock, bay leaf, rosemary, paste and 2 cups of boiling water. Bring to the boil, then reduce heat to low, simmer gently for 10 minutes. Now add the white beans, courgette and green beans, cooking for a further 5 minutes. Remove bay leaf and rosemary sprig and season to taste. Now this is lovely and easy. Ladle the soup into a warmed bowl and sprinkle with Parmesan cheese to serve. And then you're just serving that with some, oh dear, I mention it, lovely grilled rustic bread. Absolutely beautiful.
Excellent. Well, you've got to have the bread, don't you? Because you've got to soak up those little bits at the bottom.
Oh, of course you do. Of course you do. And I've got an illustration here, Nikki. So you can actually see from that this is colourful and it's beautiful.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. So it's picked up the, obviously, the red of the chopped tomatoes.
That's right.
But because you've just simmering the vegetables for a small period of time, they're still quite chunky.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's a chunky soup.
This is not one that goes with your stick blender, listeners. This is just beautiful. And it's one that you can actually get your teeth into, I guess. But absolutely lovely, the soup. Easy and basically, you know, ingredients that you can find fairly easily enough.
Yeah, well, looking at all this, it's 10:15 and prep time, maybe 20 minutes max, and then you've got soup.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. That and that's so what cool. We like, get into something simple.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely. Well, yep. I really like the sound of that. And you're right, it is soup season. So might put the girl child onto soup making over the weekend, see what we can get out of that.
Well, it's so good. It's easy and it's substantial.
Yes.
You know, exactly. Absolutely. I call it a meal, quite frankly.
Oh, definitely. Especially if you add the bread to it.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
And if it's homemade bread, even better.
Oh, yes. I made some bread the other day. I went to get some bread and I never had any. So I thought, went through my recipe books, must bring this one in.
Yes.
It's called Easy Oven Rise Bread.
Oh, okay.
I'll think about that and I'll bring that in because then I made two loaves of bread. So basically.
Oh, yum.
Yeah.
Sorted.
It was very nice. Sorted. Exactly. So we're going to move on, Nikki, to this lovely banana bread. And it has got lots of, you know, bits of chocolate in it. But I'm going to let you know that I sneaked a piece too because I needed to try it before I passed it on. So it's not actually that sweet, to believe it or not. And because it has got sugar in it, but I think for the sheer fact that it's actually got oil in it rather than butter.
Right.
And I somehow think that makes a difference because I was quite surprised when I had it sneaked a piece that it wasn't sweet with all that chocolate in it. Yep. It didn't taste that sweet.
Oh, brilliant.
So there you are.
So I won't feel guilty when I chow down on it.
No, then. You won't feel guilty at all. So here we go. Now, this makes only one loaf. So you're preheating the oven to 180 degrees Celsius. Butter and flour, a loaf tin, which is not a thing that you often hear these days. It's usually line a loaf tin with, you know, baking paper. But I thought, that's what it says,
yep.
And I better just, you know, so I oiled it, and I got a little bit of flour out and rubbed it over, give it a tap that side, this side, that side, and then put the rest back in. So that's what you're doing. So you're buttering and flouring a loaf tin. Combine 165 grams of plain flour, 50 grams of buckwheat flour, 1.5 teaspoons of baking powder, and 1 teaspoon of ground cinnamon. Then set that aside. Just mix that all together. Beat together 60 grams of brown sugar, 70 mils of sunflower oil, and I'm just going to pop in here. I didn't have any sunflower oil, so I thought oil's oil. So I just got the other, mine's called the good oil, so I thought, well, I'm throwing that in. So yep. Don't get, you know, too caught up about, caught up about it if you haven't got the sunflower oil. 2 eggs, 175 grams of sour cream, and 1 teaspoon of natural vanilla extract, and then stir in 165 grams. Now, 165 grams, I thought, well, I better weigh the bananas because, you know, I wasn't sure what a banana weighed.
And so, what does a banana weigh, Gail?
Well, two bananas, and depending on what size they are, would weigh just a little bit over that 165 grams, and that's not skin on.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you peeled them.
You take the skin and put them on the scale, and it was a little bit over. And I thought, the more the banana, that's fine.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
And actually, I didn't finely dice it. I mashed it because I thought that would be easier. Now, you're putting that into the wet mixture and 110 grams of dark chocolate into that dry mixture that you had set aside. So you're putting that in. And what I do is just mix it through the dry ingredients because it tends to not just all fall into one place in the loaf. So the flour sort of sticks to the chocolate and then it's easily sort of spread around in the mixture.
Right. And so not, you don't just dump it in the middle?
No, I don't. I actually stir it through the flour mixture, you know, the flour and whatever else that you put in. And then that just sort of helps it sort of cling to the chocolate. Then you're combining the two mixtures without overworking the batter. Now, be very careful about this.
So what does that mean? Don't stir it
exactly,
up too much?
Exactly, Nikki. Right. Oh, she's going to have this job shortly. You don't. You actually, I've got a lovely sort of paddle-type wooden spoon, and it's really good for this because you're sort of just digging it under, bringing it back, folding it through, and just making sure that most of that flour is gone. So just make sure that you're just not overworking it, as Nikki said. You don't, you know, she was just, we're not on TV, I know.
Yeah, but I was doing like a big old stir.
Yeah, exactly. So then you're filling your loaf tin with 3/4 full with batter, but this actual mixture makes that one
exactly
loaf,
right.
You know, exactly right. And then you're baking it for 45 minutes. And then for the last 10 minutes, I actually did this too as well. And it says cover with foil, you know, for an extra 10 minutes. So you had 45 and then another 10 minutes. But I did put foil over the top because I thought to myself, do as the recipe says this. I have not made it before, so, you know, just in case it was a failure. So then you're actually taking it out and allow to cool. And then what I actually did was when I did take it out of the thing, I made a very thin vanilla icing, very thin, and then sort of drizzled it over the top. But I see from this lovely photo that I've got that their drizzle looks better than mine.
Oh, no.
So I don't know. But
I'm sure it does not impact the taste at all whatsoever.
Well, I'm hoping not. But anyway, I'll show you this illustration, and it does look lovely, but mine tasted not too bad.
Oh, well, I'm looking forward to... Oh, I see what you mean. Yep, absolutely. Yeah. So it just kind of looks like almost like a little bit of snow has melted onto the top of the loaf.
Exactly. There you go. And I thought of, you know, and I sort of got the dish that I made and it's got a little lip on it and I thought, oh, here we go. I'll just go over there. Oh, okay. I think I went overboard, actually, and I think that's probably why it doesn't look so beautifully like snow drips. Yeah, exactly.
Well, that sounds absolutely amazing. I'm really excited to try some, which I will do after we've finished recording because, you know, by then I'll be getting a bit peckish because we're talking all about this beautiful food.
Well, basically, you've now got your soup, which is the main course. We call it that. And then you're going to have a bit of beautiful chunky chocolate banana bread with a cup of coffee afterwards.
Sounds perfect to me. Now, what is the song you have chosen to go after this fabulous recipe?
Well, we managed to find a song, Chocolate, by 1975.
Now, of course, baby, 'cause you know that you will.
Okay, so that was Chocolate by 1975. Bit of an upbeat. We got our dancing shoes on, didn't we,
did. Gail? Yeah, we did, actually. Yes, you know, we're in competition now, Peter. Sorry.
So that means our appetite is now rebooted and we're ready for the next recipe, please, Gail.
We are. We're next, ready for the next meal. And now this one is great because it's a slow cooker veggie bolognese potatoes.
Oh.
And this appealed to me because, you know, look, we're all busy people. And I mean, Nikki works and I'm retired, but I'm still busy. But basically, it's really good to have something like this. You can put it on in the morning and look, walk away and it's just good to know that something's cooking, especially if you're at work and you walk, and I've done it many times when I was working and I just smelt the food and it was just amazing. It was good.
So good.
Yeah, so good. So we're going to have one onion finely chopped, three garlic cloves crushed, one eggplant finely chopped, one red capsicum finely chopped, one carrot coarsely grated, one zucchini coarsely grated, 400 gram can of diced tomatoes, good old diced tomatoes.
They just perfect for any winter recipe,
absolutely,
really, aren't they?
Absolutely. Quarter of a cup of tomato paste, 1 teaspoon of chili powder, 1 teaspoon of ground cumin, 1 teaspoon of ground coriander, 1 cup of vegetable stock. Now, we're looking for 6 evenly sized large potatoes, and you don't have to weigh them, but it says here about 300 grams each. Now, but they can be unpeeled, so you don't have to peel them, but just make sure that they are washed. So you can get these lovely potatoes that really, you know, they don't get too grubby in the plastic bags, but do actually wash them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So what we're doing is placing the onion, garlic, eggplant, capsicum, carrot, zucchini, diced tomatoes, tomato paste, spices and stock in a 4.5 litre slow cooker. I'm not sure exactly what size mine is.
I reckon a 4.5 litre would be about your standard size.
It's like not, a medium size.
Yeah, I reckon it'd be about a medium.
Yeah, I think so too. And, you know, looking at the ingredients, I think we will, you know, be using that size.
Yeah.
So you're putting all that in, but stir it to combine. Okay. Now what you're doing, each potato that you've got, separately wrap in foil and place on top of the vegetable mixture in the slow cooker. Now cook covered on low for 8 hours. So that's all day.
Wow. Do you know what? That is not what I pictured.
No.
But this is cool.
Yeah. All day. So you can walk out the door.
Wow.
Now, when it's actually cooked, carefully remove the potatoes. Don't burn yourself. When they're cool enough to handle, discard the foil, of course, and then season the vegetable bolognese that's actually, you know, underneath it.
Yeah, has created itself.
Yeah, it's created itself. And make sure your good seasoning is important. And then cut lengthways down the centre of each potato. I don't know whether you've ever done this for stuffed potatoes, Nikki. And you press down lightly on a board just to open it slightly. And I'm giving a demonstration here. Just sort of split it. And then put your potatoes on a serving plate and then just scoop out that beautiful bolognese and then just sit it on the top of your potato. And then, if you want to, serve it with avocado sour cream, coriander leaves and sliced red chili and any lime wedges or anything you've got like that. But this is beautiful. This is a meal.
Wow. Oh my gosh, look at it. So it's kind of like stuffed potatoes, but not really, because normally with stuffed potatoes, you take the potato
out, don't you,
and mix it up.
This is just all sitting, you know, and the potato will be squishy and squashy in it. So it's, you know, you can sort of just put it in and sort of press it down a little bit. But look at that. It's absolutely beautiful.
Beautiful.
All those lovely ingredients. And, I mean, that's a meal.
Oh, definitely. And, then, I mean, there's 6 of them.
Yeah.
6 large potatoes. So you probably... most people probably want 2. That's at least 3 people, right?
That's right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, no, absolutely fabulous. So nice and easy. I swear by slow cookers. I truly do.
Yeah.
So if you haven't got one, invest in one.
It's totally worth it.
Oh, still a lot of winter to go.
Yeah, we've barely started.
Yeah, exactly. So well worth it, folks.
All right, that sounds divine. And if you're not too full, we've got another little dessert recipe to follow, right?
Well, we have. You know, this is the main and we're going for the dessert. And I looked at this ice cream and I thought, oh, fancy putting an ice cream recipe over in the winter. But then I thought, well, I'll have an ice cream in the winter anyway.
Absolutely. Look, Kiwis are renowned for that. Yeah. I've had people come and visit from overseas and they're like, what, why are you eating ice cream? It's winter. It's just something we do.
I know. That's right. Yeah. And if you're doing it inside, well, it doesn't matter if you're sitting by the fire. It's
exactly.
All good. Exactly. Yeah. But this is actually a peach blueberry yogurt ice cream.
Ooh.
And it's a simple ice cream. And that's what it appealed to me too, yep, as well, because we try to keep things, you know, that's, you know, possible for a lot of people. So I'm not sure whether peaches are available at the moment. Probably not. But look, store this recipe for when there is. And I'm not sure what you could substitute it with. Maybe you could substitute with pears. I don't know.
Oh, yeah,
it would be
okay.
A bit of an experiment.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Peaches and pears are quite a different flavour though,
well,
aren't they?
Well, they are. Yeah, so you might not get the same flavour. But yeah, basically, this is, it just looks lovely. So we're starting off, Nikki, with 2 to 3 peaches, which is about 300 grams.
Okay.
1 cup of fresh or frozen blueberries and a squeeze of lemon juice. 1 cup of cream. And a 395-gram can of sweetened condensed milk.
Ooh.
And 1 cup of plain yogurt. Now, that's all the ingredients.
That sounds good, just the ingredients.
Yeah, it's great. So what we're doing is removing the stones from the peaches, of course, and chop roughly. Place into a saucepan along with the blueberries. Now, cover with lid and cook over a low heat until the fruit is soft. Now, you will have noticed that I didn't say put any liquid in.
No.
So, because especially if you're using berries, I mean, they create their own sort of liquid.
Exactly.
So, this will take about 10 to 15 minutes, but the fruit will sweat in its own juices. So, please, just on really, really the lowest one until they sort of really starting to just create that liquid for a little bit of cooking.
Yep.
So you really don't need it. And if you feel you need to, you could probably put a teaspoon of water or something like that. But basically, they do release their own juices. Now, remove from the heat and add the lemon juice to balance the taste.
Right.
Puree with a stick blender. Have you got a stick blender, Nikki?
I do.
Oh, God. Yeah. And using a stick blender, beat it till smooth. The fruit sauce can be made ahead of time and store it in the fridge for up a couple of days if you know that you're going to make this in advance.
Uh-huh.
Make the ice cream. Pour the cream and condensed milk into a stand mixer or a large bowl and a handheld beater. Whisk on medium speed for about 5 minutes until the mixture has thickened and doubled in volume. Add the yogurt and the fruit sauce and whisk again for 2 or so minutes just to formally incorporate the ice cream and aerate it.
Right.
Now, immediately pour into a large lined tin or a 2-litre container.
Oh,
now,
maybe an old ice cream container.
Exactly, exactly. And just to fool everybody, put Neapolitan lid on it, you know. So basically, so you can do that. But I know that people have actually put Glad Wrap into a pan, you know, like, and then...
Oh, yes, and poured it into that.
Just lift it out and then just peel it off. Beautiful. And then it says cover and freeze for at least 4 hours, but I'm telling you, just leave it overnight. That's the best way to do it. Nobody wants to eat it after 4 hours. Just leave it overnight and then just remove from the freezer about 20 minutes beforehand because you just want it to get to room temperature and for easier scooping. That's all I can say. And it should last for, you know, a month. But
nice.
I doubt it.
If you're lucky.
I doubt it.
It sounds divine. You know, I'm almost tempted. This is another one I might have to hand over to the girl child. And it looks so pretty.
It does.
Oh my gosh,
yeah,
it's got this beautiful blueberries colour has come through.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, no, I think I'm going to have to get the girl child to try that one out for us
as
well.
There you are. Well, yeah, you get the girl child's apron ready and go for it. That's what I say.
Absolutely.
But this is lovely.
I think it's really good. This is one thing I love about your show, Gail, is that the recipes are fairly basic in terms of ingredients.
Yep.
And if there is something slightly more complicated, quite often you've tried alternatives.
That's right. Yeah, I have. Yeah. So, I mean, it's just like that that lovely oil that, you know, I used in the banana bread. Well, I didn't have that oil. And a lot of people don't have a variety of oils in their cupboard. So to me, I had what I call a good oil. And might have, I don't know, might have changed the taste for it, but anyway, it did work anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you're reading the recipe as it is, so the option is always there for people to do it themselves.
That's right, exactly. Yep. Yeah, make Brilliant. A choice. Yeah, exactly.
So, oh, well, this was fun.
Oh,
I enjoyed this. Well, I love listening to you and Pete, but I think I was nearly as good, actually.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I think you were too, Nikki. Yes, yeah. And actually, you've got a stick blender. I think that's amazing.
There you go. That's big ups to me, Pete. Just saying. Oh, it's been wonderful talking to you as always, Gail. I will give – now, Peter will be chatting to you next time you come in to record. So I will give him feedback about the banana bread
so that
he can pass it on to you.
Oh, that's lovely. No, that'll be really good. Thank you, Nikki. It's been great.
Awesome. Thanks, Gail.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air, the radio broadcast, and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.